Chapter 35 Warrior Priests of the Moche. The painted scene on the revolving pot tells the whole story. It is around AD 400. A Moche lord sits under a shelter on top of a pyramid on the north coast of Peru. He is in the shade, but the late afternoon sun causes his golden headdress to blaze. In his right hand, he holds a clay vessel filled with human blood. Calm and austere, covered in gold and turquoise ornaments, he gazes down on a row of naked prisoners, stripped of their armor and weapons. A priest in a bird costume quickly slits the prisoners' throats, catching their spilling blood in a pot. The bodies are dragged away, to be cut into pieces by other waiting priests. The lord drinks more blood, displaying no emotion. His cup is immediately refilled. One day, he will be buried exactly where he sits, as another warrior priest takes his place. This scene is one of many on Moche pots of all kinds that were once burial offerings, or were possibly used in daily life, to be displayed at feasts. Some were symbols of social status. Narrative scenes show warriors running in line, hunting deer and seal, and in processions. Moche potters were sculptors as well as painters. Their portrait vases of prominent men are famous, but they also modeled birds, fish, llamas, deer, even spiders. Nor did they forget corn, squash, and other plants, or supernatural beings. Much of what we know about the Moche and their rulers comes from their superb pottery, as well as from richly decorated burials. The Moche state came into being about 2,000 years ago along Peru's northern coast. The coastal plain is one of the driest landscapes on Earth, and so the Moche lived off the abundance of anchovies to be fished from the Pacific. Fertile river valley soils, fed by mountain water from the Andes, allowed them to grow maize, beans, and other crops in carefully irrigated field systems. As food supplies improved, thanks to more efficient farming, small numbers of wealthy families rose to prominence. The rulers and their families were the elite of Moche society, which increasingly became divided between the nobles and the common folk. The rulers built ever larger mud brick pyramids and temples. These provided the stage for elaborate ceremonies that had but one purpose: to show commoners that their leaders had close links with the supernatural world. Over the centuries, hundreds of ordinary people toiled on the great temples that rose above the Moche River. They paid their taxes in labor, a common practice in early Peruvian states. The great mud brick platform of Huaca del Sol rises more than 40 meters above the river, inland from the Pacific. When in use, and before floods and looters ravaged it, this enormous huaca, a sacred place, was cross-shaped and faced north. It was built in four sections to give it a stepped effect. The facade was once painted in red and other bright colors. The pyramid that stands there today is but a shadow of the vast structure that was both the royal palace and the burial place of the Moche rulers who lived there. A second pyramid, Huaca del Luna, stands about 500 meters away. This was a smaller monument with three platforms, connected and enclosed by three high adobe walls. Brightly colored murals showed divine beings that were part animal, part human. Experts believe that this was a place where the rulers worshipped the major gods that presided over the Moche state. In one secluded courtyard, archaeologist Steve Berger unearthed the skeletons of about 70 warriors who had been sacrificed. In many cases, their bodies had then been separated limb from limb, just as shown in the pottery frieze. Clay statuettes depicting naked men with bodies covered in intricate symbols lay alongside some of the remains. At least two of these sacrificial rituals took place during periods of heavy rainfall, a rarity in the arid Moche landscape. They occurred during irregular El Niño events, which are caused by complex climatic shifts in the western Pacific. El Niño brought warmer water to the coast, disrupting the anchovy fisheries. The rains it produced could wipe out entire field systems in hours. Who were the Moche leaders? We know from the painted pots that their political power depended on success in war. It also depended on carefully staged public ceremonies. This was where the temples and courtyards came in. You can imagine the scene. As the sun sinks in the west, a large crowd of commoners in their best cotton clothing gather in the great plaza below Huaca del Sol. Drums beat and the smell of incense rises from sacred fires as loud chanting resounds in the still air. Brilliant sunshine bathes the entrance to the pyramid on the Huaca summit. Silence falls as a figure appears in the small doorway, his brightly polished golden headdress reflecting the setting sun with hypnotic brilliance. As the sun finally sets, he vanishes into the dark space as if returning to the supernatural world. Moche pots display human sacrifice and prisoners being killed, but reveal little about the lords themselves. We know nothing of the rituals that surrounded them. We do not even know their names. They were not literate. We can only guess at the powerful beliefs that guided Moche society. But we can gaze on some of their features thanks to the skill of the potters. The ceremonial portrait vessels may well depict once-living individuals. That they were important people is certain, for the vessels appear in richly decorated graves. Some lords smile or even laugh, but most are serious and severe. You get the impression that Moche lords had absolute confidence in their own authority. All these clues give only a vague impression of the Moche lords. Few of their burials have survived the attention of looters and Spanish soldiers. The Spaniards even diverted the waters of the Moche River to wash away parts of the Huaca del Sol in a ruthless search for gold. They are said to have found some, which encouraged them to wash away even more of the Huaca. This loss makes the magnificent tombs of the so-called Lords of Sipan an archaeological find of exceptional importance, one of the major discoveries of late 20th century archaeology. In 1987, tomb robbers broke into the undisturbed gold-laden sepulcher of a Moche lord, deep in the pyramids of Sipan in the Lambayeque Valley, a major center of Moche power. Fortunately, Peruvian archaeologist Walter Alva, a Moche expert, visited the site almost immediately. His subsequent excavations, carried out by a team of archaeologists and conservators, filled in a picture of the mysterious rulers of the Moche kingdom. By 2004, 14 tombs had been identified in this major Huaca, which was built sometime before AD 300. Known as the Huaca Rajada, its burial chambers consist of two small adobe pyramids and a small platform. The graves of three Sipan lords emerged from Alva's excavations, each wearing rich ornaments and accompanied by grave offerings. The first lord to be excavated was only about 1.5 meters tall and was aged between 35 and 45. He lay in ceremonial dress in an adobe chamber with solid benches along the sides and at the head end. The mourners set hundreds of fine clay pots into small niches in the benches. Then they placed the lord in a plank coffin in the center of the chamber, the lid secured with copper bands. Spouted vessels stood at the head and the foot. He lay in his full regalia, distinctive clothing, complete with headdress, golden mask and chest ornament, earrings and other jewelry of the highest quality. He wore two necklaces of gold and silver beads in the shape of peanuts, an important Moche food crop. He was not alone. Five cane coffins held the bodies of adults. Three were women, perhaps wives or concubines, women who share a bed with a man but are not married to him, who had died somewhat earlier. Two males, one accompanied by a war club, may have been warriors. A third male, with crossed legs, sat in a niche overlooking the burial. The feet of the warriors had been amputated, presumably to prevent them from escaping. A dog and two llamas also lay in the sepulchre. Once the coffin was in place, a low beam roof had been set close above it. Then everything had been filled in. A second tomb was uncovered in 1988 near that of the first lord. The man in this sepulchre was his contemporary. His regalia included a sacrificial bowl and artifacts associated with worship of the moon. He may have been a priest. A third chamber was slightly older, but the ornaments and clothing showed that the occupant was a person of the same high rank as the First Lord. DNA tests revealed that the two were related through their mothers. A young woman and a warrior with amputated feet, presumably the Lord's bodyguard, also lay in the tomb. Three lords in elaborate, very similar attire went to eternity, accompanied by ritual objects. Who exactly were these individuals? The ceremonial rattles, exquisite nose and ear ornaments, copper sandals, and fine bracelets indicate clearly that they were powerful men. Only one possible source of information is available: the paintings on Moche vessels. Archaeologist Christopher Donnan photographed the painted pots as they revolved on a turntable, thus unrolling complete friezes of the scenes. There are hundreds of scenes that depict two men engaged in combat, one defeating and capturing the other. In each, the victor strips off his enemy's clothing, bundles up his weapons, and puts a rope around his neck. Then the tethered prisoner is forced to walk in front of his captor. Other scenes show rows of captives being displayed before an important individual, who is sometimes sitting atop a pyramid. Then the captives' throats are cut. Priests, attendants, and the individual presiding over the ceremony drink the fresh blood. The most important participants in these ceremonies wear a conical helmet with a crescent-shaped headdress, circular ear ornaments, and a crescent nose ornament, as do the lords of Sipan. Dunnan calls these lords warrior priests, men who supervise the most important ceremonies in Moche society. He points out that the regalia of the lords changed little from one generation to the next. Nearly every artifact buried with them had meaning. For example, they wore gold on the right and silver on the left, representing the opposites of sun and moon, day and night. Judging from the grave offerings, the Sipan lords were believed to have supernatural powers. They must have been aggressive, competitive warriors who organized raids and wars of conquest in the constant pursuit of victims. The graves of the Moche lords were so rich in gold that few have survived the ravages of looters. This means that we know little about warrior priests other than those at Sipan. Three noble burials have come from the 32-meter-high Dos Cabezas Pyramid close to the mouth of the Yecatepeque River. They date to between AD 450 and 550. The three lords were remarkable for their height. Each stood nearly 2 meters tall. Biological anthropologists suspect that they may have suffered from a genetic disorder known as Marfan syndrome, which causes thin, long limbs. The most important individual wore a headdress decorated with gilded copper bats. He wore a nose ornament fashioned in similar form. Bats were apparently prominent in Moche ritual. They appear on painted pots, in scenes of human sacrifice and ritual blood drinking. The man may not have been a warrior priest, but perhaps a metal worker, a respected occupation in Moche society. Leaders like the Moche warrior priests knew that their rule depended on their ability to convince people that they had a special relationship with powerful supernatural forces. Their elaborate clothing and ornaments, carefully staged public ceremonies and rituals, and the endless chants were ways in which they did so. A little human sacrifice along the way reinforced the message. The archaeological unraveling of the relationship between ruler and ruled involved slow-moving fieldwork, a passion for minute detective work, and painstaking conservation of the finds. Even small ornaments like decorated earrings revealed the spiritual opposition between the sun and the moon, between night and day. That was a central part of Moche belief. The warrior priests thought they had a special relationship with the supernatural, which gave them power. To understand their complex world, archaeologists had to assemble a jigsaw puzzle from dozens of tiny clues. Thanks to Alva and his colleagues, we now have a fascinating picture of the long-forgotten Moche rulers, men whose wealth rivaled that of the Egyptian pharaoh Tutankhamun.